little message pop up.
Jerry, thank you so very much. I always appreciate your help. So at this time, I'd like to start the meeting and call the meeting to order. We start the meeting with a roll call. Sherry, would you do that, please?
Yes. On the telephone, myself, Sherry Schaefer, Mr. David Reed, Mr. Pete Rogel, Staff Sergeant Brandon Hernandez, Mr. John Rockwell, Officer James Nelson, Mr. John Clendenin, Mr. Rick Williams, Ms. Jennifer Weber, Mr. Chris Martin, Mr. Buckley Clark, Fire Marshal Kyle Green, Mr. Bruce Richter, Mr. Tom Knapp, Mr. David Patterson, Mr. Jim Goodman, Tech Sergeant Christopher Malley, Mr. Bobby Carter. Is there anyone else on the phone whose name I have not called?
John Caruna, FBI.
Thank you.
And Tammy Inselbotnam.
Thank you, Tammy. Anyone else? Okay, President Anchorage, I show Mr. Dan Nelson, Mr. Scott Stormo, Mr. Nick Fonstock, Mr. Tim Woodall. Is there anyone else present in Anchorage whose name I have not called?
That's it, Chair.
Okay, that completes the roll call.
Sherry, again, thank you very much. The next item is the introductions of guests or new members, if applicable. I don't believe we have any new members for this. Do we have any guests on the line that would like to be recognized?
And John, this is Dan. I'll just point out we do have some representatives from L3 Harris, and they'll be doing a demonstration following the business meeting today. So I'll introduce that group when we've concluded our business.
Dan, thank you so very much, and welcome the members from L3 Harris. Moving on, it's the review and approval of the July meeting minutes. Hopefully everybody got a chance to review those minutes. Before I ask for a motion, are there any questions, comments, or updates? Hearing none, I entertain a motion to approve.
This is John, a motion to approve.
Thank you very much. And may I have a second, please?
Okay, I'll second.
I didn't hear who that was. Who just second?
Kyle Green.
Kyle Green. Thank you so very much. At this point, I open the floor for any comments, questions, or suggestions. Hearing none, the July meeting minutes are approved. We move on to the issues and risk log. There are no updates for this meeting at this point. So I've got it on screen, dated back to October of 21 down through. Next is the action item list, and the action item list, I believe we have one update, which is the OMO has put together a timeline and it is approved by the UC at their April meeting for presentation to the Executive Council. The Executive Council is scheduled to meet on August 18th. And that is regarding the non-TMA radio replacement lifecycle. Are there any questions regarding that action item? Back to the agenda. We move on to the operations management overview, and I turn it over to Mr. Dan Nelson. Dan?
Thank you very much. So quite a bit to report here. It's been certainly a busy time here in the operations management office and through the ALMR system as a whole. So let me talk through some of the items that we have here on the agenda and a few others that I've added. So let me start with our annual inventory confirmation. Certainly appreciate everybody that got those in. That is now 100% complete. So we're checking that item off for the year and appreciate that. I'll also tie in our membership agreement renewals. We have distributed those to all the agencies. So we go through process to try and make sure our points of contact are still correct and get those out. If you may recall in the years past, we generally try and have this done by July 1st. But there was some delay due to some budget information, so We have got a little bit of delay getting those out, but we appreciate, we have 82 of our agencies that have returned them so far, and very much appreciate everybody that can turn those around as quickly as possible. I know some may have to go through their legislative body, but certainly appreciate you keeping us in the loop on that. Talking about our system upgrade, so I'm just going to talk a little bit about the software upgrade. As you may recall, we've got several different upgrades in progress, but right now there's the core system upgrade is kind of next on the agenda as we finish up the GTR upgrade that I'll talk about in just a moment. Right now, the Motorola team is doing their off-site prep, we call it, kind of the preparation work for that. And we expect them to start working on the dispatch sites, beginning some staging work in Anchorage next week. And then that is scheduled for August 15th to September 1st. And what that is for folks is some of our dispatch centers, which have been all contacted individually, need their consoles upgraded to support the new system version, which is 2021.1. So we expect that work to begin, like I say, next week here and then out in the field the following week. As far as the GTR upgrades, this is the upgrade to the hardware that's actually at our repeater site. There's two sites left, so we're almost done. One is Sunny Hay, which I think the weather has really not cooperated with them, so we're still trying to get helicopter access. And then the Atwood site here in Anchorage, and they did some prep work yesterday and are really just trying to engineer that site carefully. There were some engineering challenges, and due to the users served down to that site, it's kind of an after hours, a careful site to deal with downtime. So that is still proceeding. Talking about our document reviews, we had several, none of which had any particular substantive changes, but it included our high-level communication strategy, as well as the customer support plan for the operations management office. We also reviewed the user council charter and didn't have any recommended changes there. Interoperability and key management policy and procedure were both reviewed. Adding another item here that you're not seeing on your screen, but I just wanted to talk very briefly about our incident here up at the Fairbanks area in Zone 2. So I know many of you up there that are responders experienced quite the windstorm, power outages and other things that occurred, and just following some of the electric utilities posts and things like that, there was quite a number of outages. And that also did affect our master site up at Birch Hill. And so from kind of my understanding of what happened, there's a redundancy built into all the different systems of AMR, which includes power. And there was an issue with one side, or essentially one half of that redundancy, that caused some of the components to go down, essentially those that were plugged into what we call the A side and the B side. So in this example, the A side had an issue. There was resulted in about 3 hours of downtime where our sites were on site trunking in that zone too, and technicians were able to get that handled as far as getting things patched over to that other side. I think there are still some repairs, and I want to ask here if I can pause and ask Mr. Rick Williams if there's any status update on that or if that's still in process for repairing, because I think we're still kind of temporarily working on things. Can you add any information to that? I didn't have too much of a chance to call you before the meeting, so I wanted to ask you now.
Yeah, we need new AC controllers. We had a battery replacement about a year ago, but whatever happened with this windstorm happened, and we've lost one side. So I plan on replacing both sides. This is a discussion between my higher headquarters that funds our maintenance planning. So there'll be more to follow, but yeah, we'll get that replaced. Right now, I think it's limping along, but it is definitely in HazCon.
I appreciate that, and yeah, it's obviously working, and so we'll work on that permanent fix, but there has been some kind of discussion and different things with kind of some of the users that were in site trunking the effects, so I'm thankful for our technicians that were able to get that back up and running in just a few hours, like I say, about 3 hours downtime. So especially for our North folks, when we get these reports, please feel free to share anything, any experience you had with that, and any notes and feedback for us. We certainly appreciate that. want to talk a little bit about
Dan, yeah, it's Rick again. Hey, one thing I'm unclear about is I don't know if we blew the transdector or not, and I'm not sure about the power coming in the building. So if there's some feedback for me on that, then that might help drive the type of investment that I have to make or expense that I have to make for this for that repair. I just don't know. So thanks.
Absolutely, and we'll talk about that and maybe get with the technician that's up there as well. So yeah, we'll try and get some information to you so you can do that. And I've got into metrics now. So I'll talk a few things about our group system metrics. So as you can see on the screen, still quite a busy system, although kind of a little bit lower than our peak last month, but we had 1,679,000 group and individual calls and 2,692,000 push talks on the system. Still a fairly good increase. So for example, for our push to talks, as you're seeing on the screen, in 2021, that was 2,268,000. So looking at the system, it's kind of a duplicate of what I reported on last month. There's just a lot more traffic throughout the system. It doesn't seem to be correlated to any particular user or any particular incident. Obviously, there are still wildfires and other incidents that are occurring throughout the state, but in general, the traffic just seems to be spread across most every site and most every user. So it's just a busy summer, I think, for all of us. If you look at the busies, of course, corresponding to that, that increase in traffic, we do have an increase in system busies, although a decrease from last month, 771 total. A little bit about the same story here. I know last month I talked about the Nanana site, which was being used quite a bit for wildfire operations, and they were able to switch over to some conventional resources. But of those 771 busies, 230 of those came from the Nanana site. The rest of the sites, again, there was not any other site that was particularly high versus the other. So, again, just a busy system. So, still working on that. And, of course, as a reminder, Nanana is a three-channel site. It's a lower capacity site up there. We have for subscribers in the system now a total of 24,922. That's gaining 58 from last month. And we were having a discussion this morning looking into the system of just remember as folks, it looks like some folks are starting to get the radios in and maybe doing some life cycle replacements. When you're adding those radios to the system, please be sure you are decommissioning your old radios by sanitizing them for our procedure, making sure the LMR information is out of that radio, and also make sure you delete it with the system so we can keep an accurate count and we don't have radios in the system that aren't being used. So we'll certainly appreciate that. And, certainly contact the help desk if you have any questions on how to do that. On the screen, for those watching, we've got our monthly sites below 3.9s. I'm going to apologize. There's a bit of an error on this slide that I did not have a chance to correct before it was sent out this morning. So it's showing 22 sites down on our slide. However, there is actually a total on sites under 3.9s of 34 sites under 3.9s for the month. And I just wanted to talk a little bit about that. Now, a number of these sites has to do with the Zone 2 outage that went out here the other day and for those 3 hours. So obviously that pushed quite a few of those sites down. But I'll also point out that there was certainly quite a bit of other maintenance and other issues that were happening. So in our Southeast Alaska sites, actually earlier that same day on the 25th, we had a GCI circuit outage. So as you see on the screen, some of these sites like High Mountain, Lena Point, Sunny Hay, Skagway, all those Southeast Alaska sites fell under that due to that outage. And we're waiting for information from GCI as to what the fix for that is, what the issue was. Of course, I talked about Zone 2, and then those sites are not listed on this slide, but all the Zone 2 sites. The Divide site is down. You'll see a note here that that's moving to a temporary shelter. I believe a new shelter and a new tower is going up being coordinated through the state. So that downtime was necessary to move that to a temporary location. We've had some antenna repairs and optimizations that had to be done related to the upgrade and TDMA as well as some bracket issues. So some of those sites you'll see like Cottonwood or Blueberry Hill, Canyon Creek, those antennas will require a repair replacement, which requires some downtime for the technicians to do that, as well as a couple of PMI inspections kind of sprinkled in there. So certainly a high number. We did have those two events this month that contributed to the downtime, but I just wanted to point out that the system management office is very, very busy, and some of that downtime is related to the upgrade and our normal preventative maintenance cycle. And just some website statistics. I'll just point out 592 page views on our website, mostly from a desktop. So certainly appreciate and remind everybody that we do try and keep that website continually refreshed. So chances are you might find an answer to your question there, but also feel free, of course, to call us and we'll point you in the right direction. Just some other notes of things that have occurred here. So we did an acceptance test procedure this month, really the first one in 8 or 9 months. So we ATP'd two new radios from ICOM. It was the ICF7010, which is a portable radio, and the ICF7510, which is a mobile radio. So they had been working, that was presented to us actually quite a while ago, and they needed to make some updates to their firmware, which they did, and that passed very easily. So as they have been added to the approved equipment list, which is located on our website, so feel free to look at that, and that will continuously be updated. We are looking also at hopefully another ATP. We have had some customers request a Harris radio. There's a replacement to the current Harris radio on that approved equipment list, and I'm trying to get a message back from them to see if we can schedule an ATP. So continuously trying to provide options for our members. I will be out of state next week. I'm heading to the APCO conference. So a lot of P25-related training sessions and some technical things, as well as a lot of dispatch operations and the Motorola user group as well. So I'll be attending those sessions. I don't know if any of our members are going to be down there, but if you are, let me know. And if you need time to meet while we're actually all in the same place and talk anything ALMR, certainly let me know, and we'll set up a time. We also have a few training videos coming out. Of our next vignette video is to talk a little bit about radio purchases and some of those things to consider. There's just a little technical issue I'm trying to edit, and then we'll have that out on the website, and we have several more on the list as well. And I mentioned, too, the TDMA update, just a reminder, as John said at the beginning of the meeting, that hopefully will be approved from the Executive Council meeting, which is scheduled for July 18th. At that time, we're going to be doing some probably one-on-one outreach. There's been a lot of questions about TDMA radios, that transition, the deadlines recently. So we're going to be probably hearing from me with some checklists and some packets about the flash upgrades and other things. So we'll kind of be back to that when that's done, and hopefully when the summer season is starting to wind down and we can focus on some of those things. I think I've been talking for quite a while, so I'm going to ask if there's anyone that have any reports from our representatives. Let me start in the north, if I can ask if anybody has anything to share or anything, feedback from the outage or anything else, please.
Good afternoon. This is Kyle Green here in the northern region, University Fire Marshal. Thank you, Dan, for the quick feedback. I sent Mr. Nelson an email this morning asking about some particulars about what occurs during the site trunk situation that we encountered with the power outage here in the borough. And the reply was great. I want to extend the sincere appreciation for the crews that responded from ALMR to get ALMR back up and running as soon as possible. I wouldn't say that, you know, Fairbanks has ever had a windstorm like that before. We've certainly had our share of windstorms. It just seems that all the cards fell at the same time, because in addition to ALMR going down, our primary dispatching center, Fairbanks Emergency Communications Center, lost power completely. Their generator blew a radiator hose, and that also took down the primary 911 call taking, which then defaulted 911 to AST, which had its own calamities itself. So many of us are in discussions about how to prevent that scenario from happening again. Most of us, as far as radios go, defaulted back to our VHF channel. We have simplex channels still in use, and some of which are repeated. Those are agency-based, and so some ideas have popped up about going to a regional model for those VHF now that they're kind of secondary, but in lies some challenges administratively. Bringing that up, though, is just a reminder to folks that might be in this business, maintain your VHF sites. As we've all been said and probably told before, ALMR is not the 100% replacement. It's important to have a backup to your backup, and the backup to ALMR for us here in the Northern Region is the VHF channels, which we've been maintaining. Thanks again. And certainly as we hear more and more feedback, we discover more of what happened with that wind event that took power out to well over half the borough population. We'll certainly reach back to you at the operations office. Thank you.
I certainly appreciate that. Thanks very much. And we'll get some of this documented for an after action type process just so we have it captured. Let me go to Central. Anything from our Central users today?
Hello, Dan. This is Tammy in Soldotna, and I do not have anything to report.
Great. Thank you very much. And let me go down to Southeast. Do we have anybody from Southeast on for anything to report?
Hey, Dan, it's Erin Calwara from Juneau, and I don't have any updates from other communities, but in Juneau, we are working on getting some console upgrades. We're scheduled for August 22nd for those, and as part of that, we're hoping to eventually be having more capabilities and tying our consoles into ALMR.
Sounds good. I appreciate it, Erin. Do you mind if I put you on the spot and ask about Iron Man real quick, since that's coming up this weekend?
Oh, sure. Yes, it is coming up this weekend. We'll be providing them with 13 portable radios. Thank you for sharing those with us. And we will be doing radio training with them, a brief little intro tomorrow. Apparently, they're very accustomed to using radios, but they may not be following all the rules that we all have to follow. So we'll be doing that. And our officers in the field, our Juneau Citizens Patrol, the fire department, we'll have a lot of responders staged. We'll be shutting down roadways, be providing medical assistance, triaging in tents, all sorts of things. So it's a lot of parts and pieces are coming together, and we've never done it before. So I'm sure we'll learn a lot and do better next year with it. But we're excited to host it, and our op orders are looking pretty good. And we really do appreciate the loaner radios.
Sounds good. I appreciate that, and hopefully look forward to a report from you on how that all went. And a good, just as a reminder for folks, these big events or even these smaller events are really good communication exercises. So I'm glad that Juneau is able to do some of that. And certainly if you have events and maybe need a little advice on maybe some communication exercise or some things to look at, feel free to reach out to me. And John, that is the end of my report. I'm happy to stand for any questions.
Dan, thank you so very much, as well as the folks from the other representative areas, Central, North, and Southeast. Are there any questions for Mr. Nelson at this time? Oh, Dan, you did a great job. No questions. So we can move on to the next item on the agenda, which is the System Management Office Report, or overview. Nick, are you online? I don't recall if I heard your name.
Yes, John, I am.
Oh, I'm here. Perfect. John. Excellent. I'm going to pass it on to you, sir.
All right. Thank you very much, John. So like Dan said, console upgrade is starting next week. Mostly a lot of prep work. Starting August 15th is when they'll start visiting us at sites and getting those consoles upgraded. Along with the upgrade, there's the core upgrade that is coming. We're still working on details from the upgrade ops team as far as dates, times. We're also still waiting on equipment for the core upgrade as well. With the core upgrade on September 12th, we're going to have a system a database freeze. What that ultimately means is Motorola is going to take a snapshot of all of our database and then begin the core upgrade itself. Any radios, core equipment items that are added to the system after that snapshot is taken could be lost when the core upgrade is completed. So we ask that during that freeze time, if you have radios that need to be added to the system, to do it before that date. we can still do it manually. Just keep in mind that there may be a day or two that the ratings go back down before we're able to re-add them back into the system. For this current time, we don't have any upcoming PMIs. There is the Atwood and Sunny Hay cutovers are going to be happening in the near future, more specifically Atwood, which will start next week. It'll be on the 9th and 10th. It's going to start off with a slight degradation in the system, but the system will still be up for that until they are ready to actually cut in the GTR to the site, and then the following day they'll do the antenna work on that one. This is anticipated to be mostly after hours, and everything will be coordinated from the help desk. And I believe that's all I've really got in my notes, that Dan has pretty much covered everything else that I was going to mention.
Thank you, Nick. I appreciate the update. Any questions for Nick at this time? Hearing none, we can move on to the next item, which is the State of Alaska and Department of Defense overviews. We'll start with you, Mr. Stormo.
Dan pretty much covered everything, but one little piece of information I guess I'll add to a couple items. We've reached out to GCI a couple of times trying to get the response on this, what exactly happened with the commercial outage to our sites in the southeast and the Kodiak. All of those links are through commercial circuits. We've got one site in the southeast with ACS, but they all feed back into GCI circuits to get back to Anchorage. We have physically diverse paths is what was procured, but it was clear that there is some place where it is all meeting up and that piece of equipment apparently failed at this time, and we're waiting for more information from GCI and what can be done to make that more robust. And just a little clarification on what's happening at the divide site. It's not a new shelter. We have a partner who is interested in doing some expansion up there, and it required a new tower. So we had to pull our equipment off the tower. They're going to have somebody come in, yank down the old tower, and put up a new tower. So basically, at no cost to us other than the impact of having to move some equipment and potentially having some downtime, we're going to get rid of one of the less robust towers we have at any of our sites and get it replaced with a new tower. So that's a pretty good benefit for some of the partnerships that we have. And we've got quite a few of those, whether it's a few commercial providers and a whole lot of other government, federal, and local partners that we work with around the state. So always looking for opportunities to minimize costs and share infrastructure. That's all I have, unless there's any questions.
Thank you, Scott. One question just came up regarding the next infrastructure. I don't know if you could address that.
That there a specific question in chat? Okay. So we're still waiting for Fed ramp approval on that. I think Customs and Border Control is kind of the lead for that, working with Motorola to get it authorized. I hesitate to give any date because the latest date was the middle of July, and that clearly didn't happen, and that's happened a couple of times. But our expectation is that at some point, hopefully sooner rather than later, that next equipment will be authorized to be on the system. We'll get that paperwork cleared up, and then we'll get the equipment installed and updated on the system to enable that capability. And for those that, I was just reading what David said, which I think is pretty much what I was trying to say. Once that is up, for those of you who don't know, it's the next platform allows you to roam onto, I think at the moment, Verizon or FirstNet SIMs that you can have in the radio. So if you were in a place where you maybe don't have ALMR coverage at all and you could get FirstNet or Verizon, it would in theory allow you to use that FirstNet and Verizon coverage to communicate just like you were on one of our VHF sites. So, and in many places, I think that's probably more of an advantage for like in building coverage or places where maybe you get cell coverage that you're not getting the radio system coverage. In Alaska, I think we have a lot of opportunities in, you know, remote places where we don't have ALR coverage that you might have some form of cell coverage. So I think there's some potential with that. Certainly a lot cheaper than building ALMR sites all over the state if we can take advantage of some of that cellular infrastructure.
Exactly. Thank you very much, Scott. And before we move on to any component representative reports for State of Alaska, do you want to invite or let people know that Motorola is going to be here on the 17th and is going to be providing some updated information on some of their new equipment? If you want to give details to that meeting, maybe a time, a place, and then ask if anybody wants to be invited to contact you.
Maybe through Dan or Sherry, I'll talk to them about that, see if they can send out a Teams meeting. Everybody, and we should probably just bring that up when we're here in the conference room.
I think that would be excellent. So do you have any additional update on what that meeting is about?
So it's basically just, they're just going to talk about subscribers to, you know, answer any questions on features or like one of the things we're looking at adding to subscribers that we're starting to purchase is Wi-Fi. And it, the reason we're trying to do that is it has the potential to give us an opportunity to do remote programming in the future. It has the opportunity to do something like Next, say, and I'm just making this example up, but say you had state Wi-Fi in a trooper post that did not have good ALMR coverage inside that trooper post, you could have that radio program to connect to that state Wi-Fi and do something similar like the Apex Next radio is doing. So because of how difficult it is to add a feature set after we already bought a radio, their GPS is in the process of making a fairly large purchase, and we are working to get Wi-Fi enabled on those just so we have that option in the future without having to go back and physically reflash every single radio later, which is always a much more expensive process than getting it up front. So that was just something that we learned from more conversation with them, and we wanted them to come up and just talk about their other radios. I don't know if everybody saw that they have recently announced a new radio. It's not currently going to be released in VHF. The first release is going to be UHF 7800, and then VHF and other bands would come, I think, sometime next year is probably their projections, but they didn't have an actual date to give. The Apex line of radios, they made quite clear, is not end of life. It is not sunsetting. They are still selling quite a few of them and having no plans to make that go away. It's just that platform has been out a while, and the Apex Next is, and I think they call these N or something like that, not Apex Next. I think it's maybe Apex N or something, but similar use of broadband technology, but just a little bit different than what the current models are. So it's just an opportunity to go through their subscriber lineups and explain feature sets, what might be useful to us that we're not doing, that we could be doing, and give us a chance to ask them any questions. So if anyone is interested in sending that, I will get that information to Dan and have them maybe put together a Teams meeting that can go out for everybody.
Thank you very much, Scott. And so I believe that is on Wednesday, August 17th. Yeah. So moving on to the representative reports, DOT, is there anybody from DOT that would like to give an update?
Yeah, John, this is John Clendenin. Henry didn't give me anything to report on, but I do have the alternate designation signed and in my possession. I just don't know who to send it to so that can be taken off of the issues list.
Oh, that'd be excellent. Just send it to Sherry and she'll get it routed. Thank you so very much. Welcome aboard.
Thank you.
And then Scott already mentioned that DPS is putting a large radio order in. I believe it's like 300 portables and 300 mobiles. And so they're moving forward. They got a large budget increase for that to replace some of the current radios. The XDS, 5000s are like 20 years old. And so we're looking forward to getting that refresh. Any other state agencies online that would like to give an update? Hearing none, are there any questions for Mr. Stormo? All right, we'll move on to Mr. Woodall. Tim? Oh, I do see a hand, and I'm sorry, Kyle Green, if you could ask your question. Sorry.
Yeah, thank you. Is there so has the procurement process started for those radios already? And is that procurement available to other state agencies?
Kyle, that's an excellent question, because as you have probably heard in the past, we encourage anytime that we have large orders that we get to combine them. And then we often can get even a bigger discount. So why don't you and I get take this offline. I'll send you a copy of what we're looking at ordering, and you could compare that with what you're going to order, and we could work with Scott's group to see about maybe joining forces.
Thank you. I appreciate that, because yes, many members are asking that question of how do we upgrade our radio fleets. So thank you so much.
Yes, thank you. Any other questions for Scott or any of the state agencies? Now, Mr. Tim Woodall, thank you.
I have nothing to add.
Nothing to add. How's it going at DOD, Tim?
Everything's good. We're good.
We're all good. And, I really enjoy the relationship that we have with both DOD and the municipality of Anchorage. The system is one system. As we used to tease everybody, we're 043. That means that the Motorola number that we have for our LMR system is 043, and we're all together in one. All right. Well, at this time, we can bring up any new business unless there are questions for Mr. Tim Woodall or anybody else at DOD. All right, new business. I open the floor for new business. Hearing none, our next meetings are scheduled for September 7th and October 5th. Now, remember that we have a presentation right after we adjourn the official meeting and stop the recording from L3 Harris. And so right after I ask for a motion to adjourn, I'm going to turn the mic over to Dan so he can introduce L3 Harris. So at this time, I entertain a motion to adjourn.
Jim Goodman.
Thank you, Jim. Appreciate it. And a second? Sherry, I can second that. And at this point, we can adjourn and stop the recording, and I'll turn it over to Dan.